Well, hello, hello. Welcome back to another Cup of Joy with Elizabeth and Lane. We are rolling, continuing in this theme of women and all things Joy Society and the stuff we care about as we are in Women's History Month. And so this week we are in the physical well-being sphere, which is just what it is, physical health, Lane. So kick us off as you always do.
Yeah, this is a cool topic. Today we're talking about, you know, the intersection of sexual health and physical health, specifically for career women. Yeah. So we're, you know, this is an important one and it's something we don't talk about a lot. And that's kind of what we're going to get into, why we don't, how we don't talk about it and the reasons behind it. And so, you know, this topic kind of came to us because of a recent experience that Liz had, which I'm sure you'll share a little bit more about that. But you know, when it comes to hormone replacement therapy specifically, that is a good example of how an option to improve women's health and improve our sexual well-being as mm-hmm. women. And specifically, I think it's more for when you are going through menopause, but I'm interested to hear about, I, to be honest, don't know a lot about it. And so to that point, I'm excited to learn. And I think it's important for us to know about these things and to know what's out there, to have these conversations, because it's very much still kind of like shrouded in a lot of shame mm-hmm. and kind of a taboo mm-hmm. topic. And to your point, Liz, you know, a lot of times men's health is all about, you know, let's make sure that we can still have a good time sexually. And, you know, it's just a given. But mm-hmm. like for women, it's like we have to like feel weird about it for some reason. We have to like push for it differently or like just accept that this is our reality and that we're going to like not have, you know, have sex when we reach a certain age, or that we're not going to have good sex because our physical health doesn't allow for it, whatever it looks like. So what are your initial thoughts and your experience with this?
Yeah. You know, it's funny, Lane, as I was listening to you introduce this to folks, I'm realizing like, crap, I feel like we're about to fall into a theme mm-hmm. for this month that we hadn't planned. Obviously this month is Women's History Month. And so we are certainly focusing our conversation in on women. But as I was just listening to you, I was thinking back to our last episode, which we discussed playing the game in the career space and just, you know, sort of uniquely showing up to the conversation about sexism in the workplace and saying like, some of the ways in which we are still not quite reaching the spaces and levels we want to as women is tied to our conditioning as women, as little girls, right? And how that identity that we have as women starts to show itself in ways that ultimately almost become self-limiting later. So I wasn't thinking about that before, but as I was listening to kick us off, I'm realizing this topic really ties back to that too.
Yeah.
So remind me that's what I just said, because you know this ADHD is alive and well in my life and a lot going on in my head. But I'll first inform our guests as to how we even got to this topic. And that is that as you all, many of you regular listeners know, I now sort of cohabitate between Ohio and Florida. And so one of the folks who I met along the last few years of going there regularly and became connected to and got to know better is a nurse, a female nurse who was sharing, and actually her and her husband were sharing with me that she does hormone replacement therapy. She gets it for herself. Her husband gets it. And, you know, she's just like throwing it out there. And I was like, now I know part of the reason why it's not on my radar is because surprise, surprise, I'm over here focused on career outcomes and not paying attention to certain things.
Yeah.
But I would also say that historically, I don't, you know, especially in younger years, it wasn't something I had to be thinking of, but you know, here we are in these 40s, right? And there are different nuances and realities going on. And so, you know, she just educated me about it. What I'm not going to do today is educate you all, because I'm just kind of starting to understand it myself. But I think as we're talking, it makes sense to have her on so she can educate y'all, because she's clearly expert, not me. But we were just talking about how, like, I had no idea like I really never thought about hormones. And she was saying that like your typical doctor is not going to have a conversation with you about hormones. And I think perhaps for me, I'm not at menopause that I know of. Right. So that's not coming up in conversations with my gynecologist. Right. But we were just talking about like how hormones affect mood, affect sex drive, you know, and I think I've shared before, like for me, and it's hard to tell because I have so much going on, but like with the way my career has just catapulted in the last several years, along with my research efforts and all of that good stuff, like, and really actually COVID, like I literally fully lost my sex drive, like I was dead when COVID first happened. And I really don't, I'm not sure what that was about, because I didn't feel the stress or the stress levels that most people felt. Like I was in a good space, and I not in, in just financial and otherwise, but I just generally show up to life grounded. But you know, it just, that was the beginning of like, cause I went from like pretty much being in my prime to like, there's nothing, not even thinking about it. Right. And then, you know, of course, again, I have all this career stuff going on. And so it was a conversation that we had, and she was explaining like how it affects not just the sex drive, is the obvious conversation and all of that, but that mood and all these other things. And she's like, I can tell when my hormones are low, you know, because I start feeling these things. I'm like, shit, there would be no way for me to know. And so I got blood work done, and she was like, you know, she's again talking about how like doctors, like your everyday doctor, like primary care is not necessarily looking at your hormone or your hormonal numbers. First of all, you don't typically get tested for that, you know, or they're not looking at that blood work particularly, but even the way they evaluate those numbers is not based on hormone health. It's just like, unless you're like highly, highly like deficit, it's not, there's a potentially a different way to evaluate that. So clearly, again, I'm not going to go there today, but what came up for me was like, holy crap, like, you see, and I get, maybe because I'm a sports head, so like I listen to sports radio and I watch ESPN all the time. So like,
yeah,
you know, obviously the assumption is that it's mostly men on there, but we all know in 2023 that's, you know,
that's anyway, not true, but there's a lot of
male focused products and services that are marketed.
It's a good place to advertise to men.
No shade there, but like, I always hear that. And then like, you know, you just hear about like you said, make sure you're still having fun in the bed, men, low T, blah, blah, blah. Right. So never thought of low T for myself. Right. Like never thought of it. Even when COVID had, like, I wasn't thinking, well, maybe I have low testosterone. Like it just, because like, it's not a message you're even seeing. And so I was like, holy crap. Like,
right.
Holy crap. We don't see the message. Then when you combine that circling around, cause I remembered, Lane, of like this, some of the gender conditioning that includes that basically we're whores. If we're thinking about sex, we're whores. If we enjoy sex,
yeah,
then I don't think most of us are like elevating through life as we get into our 20s, 30s, 40s, whatever. And thinking like this, like about sex as something I deserve to not limit myself in considering how I enjoy it or when I enjoy it. And we're damn sure not thinking about it as a health component, right?
Right.
But we've done other cup of joys and talked about how sex and sexual activity ties to not just physical health, but emotional health and other stuff. So I'm like, holy crap, like there's so much intersection here. Oh, and from a Women's History Month / Focus on Women perspective, you know, I just think that the gender conditioning to ourselves and then the way that then that is subconsciously reinforced.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about all the message we don't get, right? That we do get, right? But we do not get a message in any scenario where like sex is facilitated were like highlighted to even be on our mind. So I was just like, holy crap, we should talk about this.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. You know,
our history's that's coming up. Yeah. So
that
yeah.
is really, no, I'm really glad that this conversation has taken this turn.
Are you having an aha right now, Lane?
I am actually, because you know, well, you know that like, just for our listeners, this was not necessarily the way we were going to take this conversation today, but it seems like, you know, with our conversation last week, you know, the ties with the Women's History Month and just how we're trying to talk about, you know, these issues in ways that aren't talked about, and mm-hmm. the kind of like the behind the scenes stuff that might be going on that we're not aware of, you know, it just makes me start realizing that, yeah, like all the things that might be playing in for me. And it made me think of this example very recently, and it just is a perfect example of this. Like, so I'm on anxiety medication. I've said that in other episodes. Mm-hmm. And I have a male friend who is on the exact same anxiety medication as me. And recently we had a conversation about it. And he told me that he realized that this anxiety medication had lowered his sex drive, and that mm-hmm. he very quickly, like immediately, just like mentioned it to his doctor, and they like added a different medication that he would take during the day to help mm-hmm. with that. Mm-hmm. And it was like, whoa, how did you say that to your doctor? Wasn't that kind of like weird? And like, I didn't actually say that to him, but in my head, mm-hmm. I'm like, I would never even like, it was just like the obvious thing to say, like, oh, well, I'm actually having trouble with it. Like, I feel like,
would you even notice, Lane? I could double down even further. Like,
that's the other point I'm trying to say. Like, it just didn't even cross my mind to even think. I can't speak yet on that, if I'm experiencing that or not, just because I haven't been on it very long this mm-hmm. round and in the last round.
Well, I'm asking just because, like, yeah, to my point, like, we don't even.
No, I know.
We
yeah.
don't think of sex as like, I don't want to say right, but like,
well, yeah, it's that, like, I can't think of the word, but yes. Yeah.
Like, we don't even
a given?
So like, and then if or we like, do, so A, if we are real, like, so I feel like there's a lot of women who wouldn't even realize if their sex drive is up or down, because B, yeah. I think a lot of women's sex drive or desire for it has been down for so long that they've normalized it. And because of this gender conditioning component, it's more like a sacrificial kind of a perspective that women show up to sex with than it is an enjoyment yes. or a health view. So therefore, I don't know that we're thinking, if we're not thinking about sex, or if we did even notice that it's
yeah.
that it's that our drive or whatever isn't there. Like, are we, is that news to, like, is it, it's more like, yeah, I mean, women don't want it like men. So, you know, because we've been lied to our whole lives as if sex isn't like,
that we don't have the same drive naturally. We don't
desire it as much as men, which yeah. if we're honest, we know that we do. But right. again, when you live your whole life being messaged a certain way and conditioned a certain way, you're like, yeah, that's for them, and we show up. Or, you know, you are living your best sex life, because I know some of us are, and I have, I'm trying to revisit that, in a way where, like, but you still feel like you have to be secretive about that because you don't want to let the world know, in a way that will make you then be seen as a hoe because you actually enjoy sex and you're getting it regularly. So it's just, I just feel like it's like yeah. in the back closet. You know what I mean? Even if we're enjoying it and there's not a quote unquote issue with it, we still suppress.
Yeah.
We still have to keep it back there. So that's why I asked, right. like, would you even have noticed?
I don't think I would have. And that is a great point as well. And I think, you know, we're talking about just the intersection there of physical health too. And that's where I start to realize these discrepancies. That's when I started to know, like, cause I'm talking about like he was talking about, you know, talking to his doctor about it. Like the idea of like physical health being
sex, being part of it,
sex being yeah. such a part of it. I think that's just a given again for most men, mm-hmm. and obviously, like, there's nuances there 100% and different mm-hmm. things that go into that. But I do think when it comes to physical health, the idea of even that being part of it, and I get, you know, there's specific doctors that are more attuned to this. And obviously, like, there are some, you know, women who are, it's just, that's a part of what your conversation with your doctor is, but that's not how I, how I have experienced my like medical, my like medical interactions. And I even just thinking now about like, if this were to become a problem with this medication, like the idea of bringing that up to my doctor, I'm sure I could and would, but it's just the idea of it alone is a little bit revolutionary. And I think that just speaks to what you were just saying.
Oh my God. I just had an additional epiphany. Cause I was thinking like, well, then it would probably say to go to your gynecologist, but like, I feel like even at the gynecologist, yeah. Like I'm trying to think back like of conversation, and my gynecologist is the smoking bomb. Like I love her. But like, mm-hmm. I don't know that we've had conversations about enjoying sex. It's just more like,
that,
especially like younger day, do you need, are what STD like tests would we want to do? Just because as a younger person, these are things you need to be thinking
birth
about.
Birth control, that's a big conversation. Married.
Yeah, birth control, right? Birthing, right? You're having babies or any of that, but like,
the internal health.
She's ever asked me like, how's your sex life? Like, wow. You know what I mean? Like, she's awesome.
Never.
I don't think she's ever asked me how my sex life is and whether or not there's a conversation we need to have about whether or not I'm enjoying, if I have one, am I enjoying it? Do I have vaginal dryness? Like whatever the things are that like, just not, you know, it's
pain,
like,
dryness, you know,
exactly. Yeah. It's just like, are you having a baby or do you have a disease?
Yeah.
Do you need to not have a baby? So we're going to do birth control.
Like, or your periods. I mean, periods.
Yeah, like periods regulation.
The flow. Like, wow. I would actually be very curious to have a man on here and ask about and just hear more about like how sex is discussed within their medical experience.
It may not be, but they get messages to at least let them know, and they've gotten them their whole lives to say, hey, you deserve to have some really good sex until you die. So like, even if the doctor isn't bringing it up, they're getting messages to say you deserve to enjoy sex.
You and that there's solutions
your whole life. And if you're having any issues, please know we're here for you. And there's a thing for that.
And then there's like billion-dollar industries out there designed to allow you to have that for your whole life. So I think, that is the point. It's more just the messaging that goes on behind that. It's fascinating to me, even just, you know, the conversation about when you first, you know, interact with your, like, with women's health, kind of when you're a young girl, like, so, you know, the first time you might go to a gynecologist, and a lot of times it's to receive birth control. And, you know, these are the times where that would be that would be a time to discuss that and discuss about like the physical aspects of sex, because it's a physical health thing, and it's not. And I think it's just not being discussed. It's not, it's not something we even think we deserve to have conversations about, or it's just very shameful.
Yeah. And I think the interesting, like, just to add one more nuance to the intersectionality of this conversation or this topic, right, is for professional women, which is who, you know, we focus in the Joy Society on professionals, right? The identity that in definition, so we talked about gender identity, right? But the professional identity, right? If you identify as a professional woman, right, or a career woman, then I feel like that adds a whole nother layer, because I can think of spaces where women wouldn't identify as career or professional women, not a lot of them, but where it would have a better chance of coming up or have less shame. But I think that the identity as a professional or career woman adds another layer to the suppressive nature of this topic, because what is professional? I mean, and we talk all the time, and I have a podcast, Disruptive Discourse, right, on disrupting the archaic definitions of professionalism and success. And so of the many problematic realities of the definition or the traditional definition of professionalism, right, for women, you not only, obviously you're not talking about sex, but I even think about like how, even for me, like, you all know, like, I wear like these bright colors and all of that, even bright red lipstick. Oh, that's sexy. So that's not professional, right? So it's like professionalism includes of the many things it suppresses,
desexualizing.
You can't be showing up with any of your femininity, other than in our last episode, we talked the femininity part of you that would help have you do more work than everyone else to like add value to this workplace. The femininity part of you that has you sexy with curves and, you know, mm-hmm. catching the attention of not just men, but people, because sensuality is known and seen by everyone. Like, got to figure out how to get rid of that. So let's make sure it's all black. Watch those heels. We don't want these heels to be too high. Don't want that calf showing, you know? So it's like mm-hmm. all of that professional career identity, I think also adds to the shame/suppression messaging that we get as little girls about sex or sexuality or sensuality. And again, if every single day, which is the case, unless you're hella disruptive, which I semi am, you're doubling down on the suppression of thinking about yourself as a person who should be able to consider your sexuality and your desires sexually.
Yeah.
Showing up to work every day, make sure that you're dressing in ways and talking in ways and sitting in ways and holding your breath in ways that like would really reaffirm all of mm-hmm. these ways in which sex isn't, it's, we're talking about health, but like, it's not even almost not part of our identity, let alone our physical health thoughts,
yeah.
let alone our just overall life thoughts. So holy crap.
it's like you have to kind of, as a woman, you do have to really be in kind of like segmented identities when you talk about your personal and your work life. And so does everyone. I know that's part of life, but like mm-hmm. with this issue specifically and the idea of like sexual health being so shameful and so just, yeah, it doesn't like, it doesn't balance really or really become,
it doesn't have a home.
It doesn't have a home within the professional world. And when it is just like a very human and very important part of our physical health, and it's very natural. And so, you know, there's all these like, you know, the traditional view. And when we talk about a workplace, a lot of older kind of like conventional views still persist. And that is one of them, that women aren't sexual beings in the workplace somehow, but you know, when we want them to be, they are. And so it's kind of like, yeah, you have to like, again, this harkens back to the last conversation we had about knowing when to, you know, turn on this piece of yourself and turn off this piece of yourself and like know when and how to like maneuver through these kind of like very, very nuanced things and know that if you kind of turn it on in the wrong time, that it's a problem and that you're going to be looked at negatively or yeah. that you...
Yeah. And just so everyone's clear, we're not saying we are advocating for women to be able to show up as our sexual, sensual, desirous selves, right, in the workplaces. There's a time and place for everything, but it's more just like, just that self-suppressive nature that, that comes with this. So, and then I'm thinking even further, Lane, just how like, even identity-wise, like, so typically we're either mom and or wife/partner. And so, I'm thinking about the other spheres, right? So spiritually, now we get, if you think about spirituality/religion, there's yeah. really no home for us to be sexual beings in that. And depending on your religious background, that's a hell of yeah. a lot of shaming, right? Then you got, if you're in your romantic relationship, so often we're seen as the pleasers rather than mm-hmm. to be pleased, right? And then if you go into family, you're supposed to be a mom, not a woman who is interested in or deserves to have some positive sexual experiences, right? And so it's like in nearly every category, it's just completely left out. So I guess sure. this type of joy is more of our aha of how, obviously we know sex is just not, is a taboo topic in general, and it's certainly taboo for women, but then the professional component, and that's obviously that those are our peeps, right? It just really just speaks to, and for me, it was the aha of, even as a disruptor, as someone who's been, you know, sort of ahead of the curve and many things disruptive as before that was a term that folks were even using. I just wasn't wasn't on my radar, right? So it was just like, aha. So all we're doing today, folks, is bringing up our ahas to you and allowing more ahas to come out as we're talking. But I think we have concluded as we're talking here today, I'd love to bring on my nurse to just talk about the hormone replacement therapy overall, because even that, you know, she was quick to say, like, it's not just about sex. Like, people tend to assume that, but it's mood, it's energy. She was like, your energy may be low, and it could be due to a lack of testosterone, right? Or estrogen, whatever your thing is, right? Mm-hmm. So I did my blood test, and I had low testosterone levels. Shit, who knew, right? So I'm over here. And again, the whole point is that, like, we will sit here and explain anything to do with our sexual realities by, oh, we're emotional, or, oh, we're PMSing, or, oh, it's just not a thing for, you know. And then literally, again, to the point of our last cup of joy, is that while we've got all this suppression going on towards us, we unfortunately have been conditioned in a way that caused us to be self-suppressive at times. So hopefully for today, we've inspired you to dust off, if it needs dusting off,
yeah,
like just the concept or topic of sex in your mind. As something you should be considering as a woman who deserves to be well in every way and enjoy your life in every way. And in the meantime, then we will circle back to you all with a freaking expert, because we know a lot of stuff, but this ain't it. We just know what we don't know.
Right.
And we will commit to you that we will bring someone back who can educate us, and so we can all go forth and either begin enjoying our best sex related health lives and or elevate even more. So we'll see you on the next cup of joy.
See you soon.